do you want me to just share a word, or shall I give a homily? He said, I don't know what he said to that. Sorry. Oh. Anyway, I'm also going to share from Revelation. We've just been there just a moment ago. Hi, everyone. It's really nice to be here. And there's a lot of you who I know your faces, and we already had a hug and a little chat. So it's really nice to be back again. It's been a while, but we're glad we're here. I'm just going to read from Revelation chapter 19, actually. And no, I won't read it all, but the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who was seated on the throne. We're at verse 4 here. And they cried, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. I'll stop there, because one of the things that I have been carrying, like on a big scale, a big picture, is about the bride. And this is something that I just keep thinking about a lot, that the Lord is calling us all as his bride to be ready, but also that he is calling his bride, and that means his people, whichever church or denomination or group that they belong to, if they love the Lord and believe in Jesus and are saved, then they are his people. And so I just feel the Lord wants us to be seeing the whole bride wherever they are, because he's wanting to call us together. And these days we're living are getting so frightening, and everyone's talking, no matter where you are, everyone's talking about all the things that are going on in the world, which you are all very much aware of. And everyone's talking about it, and it's like the darkness is getting very dark. But I just think that's what God's doing. He's just wanting to get his bride ready and call us together. So that's my kind of thing that I'm thinking about a lot. But in this scripture, something stood out to me as I was thinking about this morning and sharing maybe this, and it said, Praise our God, all you his servants who fear him, both small and great. And we can have the big picture, but I think we all need to kind of bring it down to ourselves, right? Or our own little group or who we connect with. And this struck me that it said, both small and great. And actually, back in Psalm 115, I'll just quickly go there, because I realized there was a reference to this. It says this, The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. So this little phrase, small and great alike, just stood out to me. And it's actually mentioned a few times in Revelation, sometimes in a good context and sometimes in not so good context. But it's that all of us, it doesn't matter if we feel that we're only small, and because most of us only feel we're small. I certainly only feel I'm very small. But it's every one of us that God wants us to be ready. And we're all included. And it doesn't matter if we're small or great, we're part of his bride if we love him. And I just think that's what God wants to encourage you, is that you're part of his bride. And we're part of his bride. However small we might see ourselves, we are part of his bride if we love him. And he wants us to be ready and wants to include us in what he's doing in these days. So, amen.
Amen. I'm fired up.
Oh, you're fired up. He's wired.
Hi, everybody. We should have been here. Oh, that's okay. Wonderful. Did you see the bird landing on her head? Freaked her out. That's okay. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord. More. More. We should have been here in May, but Pauline's mother had a stroke and died, so we were in England. 40 years ago, this month, Pauline gave her life back to the Lord. Pauline, life begins at 40. If you think you've seen things in the last 40 years, you better get ready for the next phase of life.
I was quite older then.
And 39 years ago, Pauline's problem was that she'd met me. So you're under no illusions. And we got married. But 39 years ago, God fulfilled Isaiah 65:1 and Romans 10:20 in me. It says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. And I'm one of those. God met me when I definitely wasn't looking for him. It was totally unexpected and changed my life. I know what it is to be rescued. And then July the 4th, 1998, I was fished out of the lake at Rushing River, just about as I was to go down for the third time. And if you remember years ago, you should tell this story. I know what it is to be rescued spiritually, and I know what it is to be rescued naturally. I remember realizing I was going down for the third time and thinking, I wonder if you drown when you go down for the third time. And praise God, I didn't have to find out. God provided a lifeguard who was camping, going somewhere else. And they'd already, because they're a trained lifeguard, they'd already checked out where the life ring was. When this guy cried for help, they set up running for the life ring, dived in, and rescued me. I know what it is to be rescued. How many of you know what it is to be rescued? Look around. Don't be bashful. We have been rescued. Spiritually, we've been rescued, and I expect naturally, we have been rescued. How many of you have had life-threatening situations and God has rescued you? Look. Living is not for wimps. And as our son-in-law's mother, who's 86, says, and getting old is not for wimps. How many of you know that? Yes. But meanwhile, God restores us. Notice how he does it. Not by might, not by power, not by willpower, not by soul power, not by good intentions. We are restored by the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of the Lord who restores us. Now, we can either really hinder or cooperate. How many of you know what it is to really hinder God doing good things in your lives? How many of you have run off and definitely needed rescuing again? Okay, I'm speaking to normal people. But by my Spirit, says the Lord, I have been restoring you, and I am restoring you, and I will go on restoring you. But really this morning I've come to talk to you about release. The world is becoming increasingly dark, increasingly fearful. It is not the time for the church to be hunkering down. It's time for the church to be moving out. That's you, me, and us. Paul records, 2 Corinthians, what God spoke to him. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. How many of you know what it is to be weak? How many of you feel like you are so weak? Well, God says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Because part of restoring, we have to deal with soul power, our own strengths, our own abilities, our own willfulness, our own rebellion, our own stuff, which prevent us being restored. And God has to defeat us. He has to bring us to the point of surrender. Once we've come to the point of surrender, then we can live in His victory all the time. We are not fighting to get into victory. He wants us to live in His victory. But He needs us to surrender. It is very hard to rescue a drowning person while they're still fighting. When they come to the end of their strength, it's easy to rescue them. But if you jump in and try and save somebody and they're fighting, you are in danger of being drowned with them. How many of you have heard stories like that? So stop fighting God, surrender, and then live in His victory. Live in the victory which He purchased at Calvary. So let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. You're already here. Lord, we are confident, not by might, not by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord. But Holy Spirit, You are here today and in these days to release us. We are not trapped by the past. It is our future which defines who we are. Lord, at this moment, we will look back and be so thankful for You. But we are not looking back to be trapped by the past. We are laying hold of You and we say, come, Holy Spirit, come. You're here for every single one of us. And how great is the love the Father has for us, that He lavished His love on us. He lavished His love on us. And Father, You're still the same and You're saying to us today, and I'm lavishing My love on you today. From the inside out. I lavish My love on you from the inside out. And the outside in, but from the inside out, I lavish My love on you. No matter how young or old, weak or strong, I lavish My love on you, for you personally are dearly loved. Don't put your hands up, but some of you could possibly hear thoughts going off, well, that's not for me. That's true, not true for me. That's a barefaced lie. If you had that thought or something similar, just say amen to what I'm going to pray for you. Father, I take that thought captive and I give it to you. That's from the past, and it doesn't belong to me. I receive your truth about me personally. I am loved by you, and you lavish your love on me. I am not an exception. I'm not too difficult for you. You love me. You love me. You've received me, and you have accepted me. And Lord, I commit to not agreeing with these lies any longer. Amen. The Holy Spirit's here to heal people today. So Holy Spirit, as we speak here, do your work. Do your work. How many of you got physical pain right at this moment? How many of you got pain in your body right now? Okay? So, you folks particularly, just pray after me. Father, I thank you. You lavish your love into me. And now I receive healing from the Lord Jesus Christ, which you purchased for me at Calvary. Now, if you can lay your hand on the closest part of your body to the pain, I speak to my body, receive the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ now. Pain, be gone. Doesn't belong to me. Doesn't belong to him. Lord, we particularly pray for those with back pain. Lord, release people's pain, backs. Release their backs. Heal them. Heal them. We speak to that pain and be gone in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, just whatever you've got to do with people's skeletal structures to straighten them, bring them into alignment, release the vertebrae. Bring healing into people's vertebrae. Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, where there's whiplash injuries. Okay. Who's suffering from whiplash injuries? Anybody here? Yeah, a few of you. Okay. Now, what you need to do is, somebody was responsible for that, even if it was you. All right? Just pray out, Lord, I forgive the person responsible for those injuries. And if it was you, well, forgive yourself particularly. Lord, I release forgiveness. The people, the person, me, is responsible for those whiplash injuries. I release forgiveness. Now, Father, take away these symptoms. Heal my back, my shoulders. Lord, just release that in Jesus' name, that the power of God would go through my body and release healing, remove the pain. And Lord, just clear the memory. Just clear the memory of that. I will no longer live under the trauma of that. Thank you, Lord. Lord, the people who have knee pain, if you've got pain in your knee, just put your hand on your knee and say, Lord, release healing into my knee. Just release fullness of movement in my knee in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord, just adjust that knee, that patella, Lord, where it's ligament damage. Just heal that, restore that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay. And we discovered this morning there's quite a few people have hearing problems. Hearing aids are wonderful, but if you've got hearing problems, put your hands on both ears or your ear. And just pray this. Jesus, I receive healing of my hearing. Increase my spiritual hearing to hear the word of the Lord. And heal my hearing that I can hear clearly in my ears. Jesus' name. And we declare healing is from the Lord Jesus. Receive healing of your hearing in Jesus' name. Deafness does not belong to you and it's not from him. Amen. Okay. And how many of you are suffering from the aches and pains of getting older? It's okay to confess. Okay. Lord, we declare over those of us who are getting older, we are not being oppressed by the aches and pains of getting older. Lord, you release life, health, vitality, strength. And Lord, I rebuke the aches and pains of getting older and forgive me for agreeing it's because I'm getting older. Lord, you have life, strength and vitality right to the day I die in Jesus' name. Okay. How many of you have pain which is gone? You all still got the pain you came in with? You've all still got the whiplash injuries which you had. All things are exactly the same. Are you better? Yeah? Anybody else willing to own up? Okay. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. And the power of the Spirit, Lord, release us. Paul arrived in Corinth, which is recorded in Acts 18, from Athens, which was recorded in Acts 17. Athens was the centre of human wisdom. It's the centre of Greek thinking. He went there and he learned a valuable lesson. 1 Corinthians 2. Immediately after his trip to Athens, he went to Corinth. Corinth was everything Athens wasn't. And Corinth wasn't anything which Athens was. Corinth was a rough trading seaport. Athens was the centre of culture, superiority, human pride, eloquence, human reasoning. In Athens, Paul tried to reason with them. And at the end of Acts 17, all that said was, Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, was saved, a woman named Damaris, and a few others. Then he arrives in Corinth. First letter to Corinthians, he's going back to his arrival in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 2. So it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, suggesting that's what he'd done in Corinth, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. He just came out of his relationship with Jesus Christ. And he'd settled. I came, speaking Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came in weakness. I came in fear. I came in trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. What is your faith resting on? Part of the joy of being me is God feels free to take risks through me. So I come to you wonderful folks, pray for healing, go through all this, aches and pains and this and that, and we pray and it feels good, and one person is touched. We should have a problem with that, in addition to me having a problem with that. I'm very friendly. But what do we do now? This preacher's come from outside and prays for healing. If you've got pains here, if you've got pains there, if you've got whiplash, you've got a pain in the knee, pray for hearing. And we pray. Now, easy thing is, well, God will heal eventually. And God's saying, you know what? I'm here. I have not changed. If you read in the gospel, when I was on the earth, everybody would have been healed and the crowds of Bemidji would be swarming in for Jesus to touch them. Is that not right? Is that not true? Paul said, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. I'm secure enough in my relationship with the Lord to look a fool. If my confidence is in God, you are seeing a demonstration of God's love coming through. If my confidence is in me, you are seeing a demonstration of God humbling somebody in front of a crowd of people. If I've come confident in me, I am in big trouble. Isn't that true? That's true. However, God is wanting all of us to be confident in Him and who He is. The demand is not that God heals everybody at this moment, but the expectation is He does. He does. And He's challenging me, and now you're included, of living with things which we should not be living with. We think it's normal. We put up with it. It's like we get older, so we have aches and pains. Well, I don't get that from Scripture. Do you? But we buy into it. What is our faith resting on? Paul was very clear to the Corinthians, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. He is looking to release the people into Bemidji and surrounding areas and far beyond, whose faith does not rest on human wisdom. You've reasoned with the people of Bemidji. Have you not? How many of you have tried to talk to people about God? How did it go? Well, generally, they've heard it all before. God is releasing a people whose faith does not rest on our ability to reason. He's raising up and releasing a people who live in a close relationship with Him, who know that their faith is based on His power. It says elsewhere, the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of talk, but of power. All the power of heaven is available to you, me and us. Then look what he says to the Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians 2, he lays out to the church in Corinth, this is where you are meant to be living. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. The most powerful word in that is a three-letter word. Destined for our glory. I thought it was all about His glory. Well, it is, but He doesn't say that. God has destined glory for you and me and the bride. So what Pauline shared about the bride is just true. This is what he planned for the bride. We declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, that God destined for our glory before time began. And then Adam read the scripture. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ who is our glory. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the glory of the church. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the glory of the bride. The revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a mystery hidden, prophesied about. Galatians 4:4. In the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came, born of a woman. It was the revelation of God Himself. So it was read to us, it was talked about, we sang about. Our glory, your, me and us, our glory is the revelation of Jesus Christ Himself. God is speaking to the church two major things, if you want to sum it up, that we would know Him, know who He is and what He's like. Not in theory, but in reality. We don't just talk about it. He is right here amongst us. He broke it down where two or three are gathered. There am I in the midst. We could divide into groups of two and three and you will see how many Jesuses were in the midst of us. If that makes sense to you. Two or three are enough for Christ to be in the midst. So he's saying, I want you to know me, who I am, and live in the fullness of that relationship. But the other thing he's saying is, church, I want you to agree with me in who I say you are. That is our biggest problem, is agreeing with him concerning what he says about his bride, his church, his body, his temple, his army. You, me and us. He is not concerned about our weakness. He's concerned about our relationship which we have with him. That this relationship is not dependent on words, on theory. It is really based in the true reality of who he is and who we are in him. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't understand, so they killed him. The devil did understand, and that's why he killed him. But of course you can't kill God. But he's saying, look, Church of Corinth, look, Church of Bemidji, understand. The revelation of Jesus Christ changes everything in you, in us, through us. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ through His church changes and gives hope to people who are increasingly fearful about ISIS, Ebola, President of the United States, whomsoever. Fear is just rising and rising, which gives us amazing opportunity to come with the antidote with fear. Perfect love casts out fear. You have the answer to every crisis. Past, present and future. Because that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now you know that. We know that. But he's encouraging us. But look, this is what he said. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. And so part of what I'm doing in these days is just releasing the Spirit of revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. I was very grateful Adam read the revelation of Jesus Christ, because this is what we're about. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to you, in you, and through us. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. That isn't just talking about a future day in eternity. He's talking about here on earth, here and now, in your day, in our generation, in Bemidji. He is serious about this. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ to you, in you and through you. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. And then here we go. So that we may understand what God has freely given us. They didn't understand, so they crucified him. He's given you, me and us, the Spirit, so that we do understand what God has freely given us. I'm committed to praying for healing wherever I go. Because I believe healing's in the atonement. And if Jesus was standing here, this is what he would do. Would he not? Well, as far as Jesus is concerned, he is standing here in every single one of us. He wants us to understand that. The sheer enormity of what the relationship of Jesus Christ means for you, me and us. And in many respects, healing is the simplest. Either you've still got the pain or you don't have the pain. Or the pain's gone away somewhat. Yeah? Healing is a bit like money. You've either got it or you don't have it. You can count how much you've got. You know. Other things, well, it sounds good. God really is restoring healing in the church, to the church, through the church. Part of normal everyday life. Part of what he has to do is say, church, don't live unhealed. But don't be condemned. If you're in need of healing and not healed, don't be condemned. Don't buy into that lie. It's just understanding the presence of God and what he wants to do. So, we had a meeting, Manitoba, Sunday evening. Great folks, like you. The most obvious person in the room who needed healing, we were praying for, and not a lot was happening. She was being encouraged, but meanwhile, over here, people were praying for one another, and 7 or 8 people got healed. Why? It was the people praying for one another, which is what we're going to do before we finish. It isn't going to be me speaking from the front and releasing healing. You are going to be releasing it. Healing into one another. Why is that? That's the call on every one of us. He wants faith to be released, but he wants to demonstrate it through his body, not somebody standing at the front. No problem to who's standing at the front, but that's been our expectation, that's been our training. God is releasing healing through the body. A healthy body heals itself. I don't go every day to the doctor to see, am I healthy today? My normal body heals itself. Yeah? If I need more specialist help, okay, we get prayer. But if I need a doctor's help, we go to the doctor. But that's a rare event. Does that make sense? And so in the same way, he's looking for the body to heal itself. That's why we pray. We release the presence of the Lord. We're there. How are you doing? And my background, school teaching, one of the people in a school I most appreciated was the school janitor. Do we have any school janitors here? Any of you who were school cleaners, cleaned in school?
I did one summer. Oh, Joel does it.
Okay, right. I really felt they were a picture of Christ-likeness. How many of you know kids are good at making a mess? Every day, cleaners were there, same time, same place. It looked like the same mess. Well, we won't talk about that. And they would see the place clean. And a few minutes later, people came in committed to making it unclean. And they were always joyful. It always impacted me. I said, well, you know what? I get satisfaction out of knowing I've done a good job and it's clean. I know I have to do it again tomorrow. But I don't get concerned about tomorrow. Today, this place is clean. just because I know I've got to do it again tomorrow, isn't a stumbling block to me. That was a powerful testimony. I couldn't have done it. You know, whoa, you've got grace. But that's how God wants us to be. Does that make sense? Perseverance is so crucial. Perseverance is so crucial. You understand, we are committed to seeing it through. And not just once and give up. Perseverance. We are committed to seeing people healed. If it requires perseverance, we will persevere. We won't be stumbled by that. We celebrate the victories and keep telling people, this does not belong to you and it's not from him. He wants us to understand. So what have I been rambling on in the last few minutes? I've been understanding the Spirit who is from God, so we may understand what God has freely given us. His appeal to the church is, let my Spirit give you understanding what I have freely given you and live in it. Live in it. Live in it. Live in it. Minister life. Minister life. Live in it personally. Minister life. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. The Spirit gives us understanding. And then we live in it. We don't settle back content. Guys, how many of you persevere until the job is done? Till the engine's fixed. Till whatever needs fixing, it's done. Well, you do. Just as ladies do. In the same way, it's the same with people. We persevere. We press in. We don't give up on people. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, considers them foolishness, cannot understand them, because they're discerned only through the Spirit. Paul, can you say it more plainly? Meaning, he's saying it really plainly. There is no alternative to the place of the Holy Spirit. People can't understand because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit and revelation flows. He works us so much out. He explains things. God loves it when you ask questions. Never apologize for asking God a question. Just when he gives the answer, don't just run off with the answer. Press in the relationship. Press in the relationship. Why is this? The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. How many of you know what it's like to be on the receiving end of human judgments? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. For who has known the mind of the Lord, so instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Corporately, we have the mind of Christ. And individually, we have a portion of the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is totally available to his bride. You, me and us. You are not limited to your tiny mind. Not being offensive. Compared to the mind of Christ, our minds are tiny. Live in such relationship with him that revelation, understanding, come and press in for that. Press in for that. Not with human wisdom. We began by surrender. Once we've surrendered, all things are ours. So look, this portion of Scripture, I believe, God is really highlighting to the church. He wrote it to the people in Corinth saying, look, this is where God wants you to live. And it's all about living in the Spirit, the Word flowing through the Spirit. Things beyond our seeing, things beyond our believing, things beyond our imagining. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. What God has prepared for us, and his message is, that's where I want you to be living. Don't live back in the world. Live in the fullness of who I am. Live in the fullness of the relationship with Jesus Christ, and let Jesus Christ reveal himself to you, in you and through you, wherever you are. That's why God's sending the church out in the midst of ever-increasing fear and darkness. We have, Tim wrote this wonderful book on hope. These three remain, faith, hope and love. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ through you, me and us. So live in the goodness of this. However, and I'm bringing this into land, in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 Corinthians 5, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 7, 1 Corinthians 8, 1 Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 10, and especially in 1 Corinthians 11, so chapters 1 Corinthians 3 to 11 are all about what he says next in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. Mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you're not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? 1 Corinthians 3 through 11, he goes through all the different ways in which the church of Corinth was still worldly. Worldly in their thinking, worldly in their behavior. Worldly meaning non-Christ-like. Worldly meaning like they used to live. They were still in the process of being restored. Then 1 Corinthians 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. That really follows at the end of 1 Corinthians 2. But he's had to address the reality in the church. We are still worldly. We're still in the process of being restored, but we have been released. He doesn't wait until we're perfect. He releases us by his Spirit. That's what he's doing with you, me and us. He wants you to boldly live the rest of the week out of your relationship with him. With boldness, confidence, humility. Let Jesus Christ be revealed through you. And at the same time, we have to face up. We can be worldly in our thinking. 1 Corinthians 11 says, he's talking about communion. And he ends, says, you failed to discern the body. You failed to discern the body of Christ. And then he makes this statement. That's why some of you are weak, sick, and some have died. And you go, whoa. And then he can move on. Being worldly in our thinking is a big deal to our God. Jesus Christ wants us to be Christ-centered in our thinking, which is agreeing with the Word of God. Jesus really wants you, me and us to agree with his Word. Who he is, who he says we are, and he lays it out. Not as law, but as life. And he fills us with the Holy Spirit to empower us to live according to how he wants us to live. And he fills us with the Holy Spirit to empower us to live. Empowers us to demonstrate the kingdom. Empowers us to give the message to people of Bemidji, your faith will not rest on my human wisdom. But Jesus Christ, him crucified, him raised from the dead, and here's a demonstration of the power of God. So, I come amongst you committed to living what I preach. Does that make sense? It may mean I look foolish. We pray for healing and I've got pains of this and pains of that and this and that, and one person is significantly touched. Do I crawl away? Hope they never invite me back again? Or have been laying out to you what Jesus Christ is really like and touching an issue which he has with me and us. We have settled for much, much less of who Jesus Christ is today. We have settled for less. Far less. Way less. We've lived with it. We've accepted it to the point of believing. That was for then, but this is now. This is far harder now than it was then. We have settled for a whole bunch of lies. And God's clearing out the lies. But the biggest lies so much is what we have believed about ourselves. And you say, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Your weakness is not a problem to Jesus Christ. It's a great and glorious opportunity for him to demonstrate his strength. That everybody will know, well, that definitely wasn't them. It must have been God. Because they could not have done that. Yeah? Are you agreed? Well, you are, because you're great folks. But this is what we're contending for. Not just here, but all over the body of Christ. We have settled for less and we really didn't realize it. But when we see the revelation of Jesus Christ, suddenly we realize we have settled for less. And we have said, well, that's these big name people who don't live here. And God's saying, it's the big name people like Louis who live here who I will use. And knowing Louis and loving Louis, the one thing Louis will say about is he's not a big name person. Is that right, Louis? Yeah, that's right. That's right. And his message is, I want to use everybody because I'm in all of you, not just a select few. The revelation of Jesus comes through all of us, not just a select few. He empowers all his body. Yeah? So, okay. This is what I'd like you to do. Take a risk. Well, actually, you're going to take a few risks. If you need to leave, that's okay. This is the list of risks. If you can gather in groups, I don't know, threes and fours, fours and fives, pray for one another to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then whoever has pain, lay hands and command that it leaves and that you are healed in Jesus' name. And then pray for one another for boldness that when you leave this place, you are going to live out there as you would live in here. And if you feel the need to repent of settling for less, feel free. Is that okay? And I'm not going to make a law as to what the groups look like. Just get into groups of four and five. Is that good? Take a risk. Step up. Get out of your place. You don't have to come to the front. Just meet one another. Love on one another. Pray for one another. Be bold and strong and courageous. Okay?